Good afternoon. Welcome to Three Tune Tuesday for Tuesday, February the 7th. I am your host, Bonaparte. You are listening to Blind Skeleton Radio, coming to you live from my old country cottage. Thank you so much for visiting. Welcome. Please come in. The front foyer is very warm, comfortable. We've got a fireplace going and large, comfortable, cushioned, oversized Victorian chairs for everyone. Come in, have a seat, close your eyes, let me take you back in time 100 years to when phonographs were still a new, magnificent, magical thing. Music was very different than it was today. I hope everyone is having an absolutely fantastic day and a fantastic February. We are indeed in the first week of February. We're finishing it up. And spring, at least here, is definitely in the air. I went outside the other day. It was still a little chilly, but the air was beginning to be fresh and crisp. Today we are substantially, surprisingly above freezing. It looks like we're going to have a fantastic week coming up ahead here. Really looking forward to seeing spring begin to bloom, flowers coming out of the ground like a beautiful picture. Seeing the colors of them, all the fragrances, everything about it's going to be fun. Definitely looking forward to it. If it's not going to snow and blizzard, it may as well be spring. It's one of my favorite times of the year. So, once again, thank you for coming in to listen to me babble, listen to me talk to you. I am your crazy eccentric Uncle Bonaparte, and we have some music here for you today. So we're going to start off with a small song. I believe this was written by Sousa. Sousa was a master of writing marches. This is on an old label that may still be in existence somewhere under different management, so to speak. The Cameo label was formed in the 1910s, like a lot of other small labels. There were a lot of them that cropped up at the time. You know, the 1910s was really the musical equivalent of the dot-com era in the early 2000s. A lot of different organizations jumped onto the ship and tried to make something of it. And in large part, a lot of them were successful, if for no other reason than to produce some really fantastic music. The Cameo label, even though it didn't survive past the 30s, was influential and had some good music attached to it as well. They were one of the pioneers of jazz. They had a couple of early, really popular jazz musicians signed to them. Cameo was also one of the earlier and first adopters of the newfangled electric recording techniques that Victor and Columbia designed in around 1925 and 1926, which began to produce a much higher quality sound. Now, those sounds, of course, we won't be playing here. We're still focused on the magic of the music that was acoustically recorded and played back on wind-up phonographs. That's what we're here to share with you, and that's what we have right now. On the Cameo label, we have a song recorded by the Manhattan Military Band. Now, the Manhattan Military Band has been around for a very long time. It is a military band. It's been around about as long as the military. And they are well known for playing their marches, of which this is one of. So we're going to kick the show off today with a song called Thunderer, which I do believe was written by Sousa and played by the Manhattan Military Band. A nice way to get the day started with a nice uplifting march by the Manhattan Military Band. Now, I had wanted to play this particular song, Thunderer is its name, when one of the Thor movies had come out. Unfortunately, the timing didn't quite work out the way I wanted, and right now I have no idea when the next Thor movie will be out. But nonetheless, it's a really, really fun march. A lot of marches are fun, as the case may be, and that one was, it's one of my more favorites. And it's always nice to get a nice, good song that's not on the Victor or the Columbia labels, because there are lots of other good songs out there. So we're going to move next to back to the Victor label, speaking of, and we're going to actually actually to the Victrola Red Seal label. But just before we get there, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself and some things that we've got going on here outside of the studio. Some of the current listeners, routine listeners, may know that I am an active volunteer in one of the local community theaters, and we've got a play coming up that is opening later this week. It has been a very busy time. Saturday, Sunday, over the last weekend, we were at the theater approximately 6 to 8 hours each day. Last night was our first end-to-end dress rehearsal, and we were again at the theater over 4 hours, and we're expecting the same tonight. Really busy, but really a lot of fun. Community theater is something that is just a whole lot of fun for everyone involved, regardless of where in the production you are involved. We have people that are obviously acting. We've got stage crew, director. We've got a technical crew that is responsible for lights and sound. There's myself, who is the stage manager, responsible for making sure that everyone knows what they need to do and when, and making sure that they can do it. Essentially, once the play starts, the director's job is complete, and the stage manager's job begins. Excuse me. And that's what I've been doing a lot of these last couple of weeks to couple of months. It's been busier as we get closer and closer, but it has been just a whole lot of fun. So I encourage anyone who's listening that if you have, you know, any form of cultural activity that you can volunteer with near where you live, it's a really, really fulfilling thing to do. You get to meet a lot of great people, and you get to learn some things along the way. And ultimately, in the case of the theater, you get to see a final product that's just a lot of fun to put on. Now, that said, we're going to move back to some music. We're going to talk about the Victrola Red Seal label. The Victrola Red Seal label was the Victor Talking Machine Company's premier label at the time. That was where they signed their most prestigious musicians and recording artists, and this one is no different. This is a song by Alma Gluck. You may or may not have heard of Alma Gluck, but she was a very, very incredibly famous opera singer. She was born in Romania in the 1800s. She moved to the U.S. in the 1900s and became just extraordinarily famous. She was married once to a person. They got divorced. And then she ended up marrying another fellow by the name of Ephraim Zimbalist. Now, Ephraim Zimbalist himself was a musician. He was a violinist. And I have many of his songs as well, at least one of which I've played prior on this show, and I will undoubtedly play more of them, you know, as the time goes on. Now, Ephraim and Alma had their own children who became their own stars in their own right. Ultimately, Alma Gluck was the grandmother of Stephanie Zimbalist, who starred in Remington Steele. So her reach goes quite far into the entertainment industry. Now, this particular song is a song that has bird voices in it. Now, one might wonder, how did they do bird voices in the era of acoustic recording when they need to record, you know, just inches to feet away from the recording instruments? How did they get the birds to sing? Now, certainly they didn't grab a bird and squeeze it to make it sing, and that would just be completely inhumane. Instead, they had imitators, and in this case, they used Charles Kellogg. Charles Kellogg was, in his own right, a very famous actor at the time. He was primarily a naturalist. That's what he liked to view himself as. But he also toured on the vaudeville circuit. And what he did was he imitated birds. He was fantastic at it. You will hear on the song just how incredible it is. Now, Charles Kellogg has his own story, which is fantastic, which I won't get too much into right now, other than to say he had a range that was wider than a piano's range, so he could really do a variety of imitations that you'll, and some of which you'll hear on this particular song. So this song coming up is Listen to the Mockingbird, sung by Alma Gluck, with bird voices by Charles Kellogg.
Ready?
And that was Listen to the Mockingbird. And yes, believe it or not, that was a person doing the Mockingbird. Really, really fantastic impression that was. Now, there are stories and sources that say that Alma Gluck was the first major recording artist to sell 1 million records of a song. Her record of Carry Me Back to Old Virginia. Now, she has never said this. You know, and the Victor Talking Machine Company's ledgers do not indicate that that is the case. But what is true is she was the seventh ever recipient of a gold record for having a boatload of records sold. She really, really was that popular at the time. Now, we're going to finish up with something that I know everyone knows. I know you know it, and you'll know that you know it. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. I've played this previously, this song previously from a different artist. I've played it from Arthur Pryor. I'm not playing Arthur Pryor's version this time. I'm playing a version from the Columbia Symphony Orchestra. I'm not going to get into too much about it. You'll know it when you hear it. I hope you enjoy it. Yes, that was the William Tell Overture. It was part four. In the original, in the original story, the part four of the overture recounts the Swiss soldiers returning their Swiss homeland away from the their Austrian oppressors. Now, in the story itself, there was no cavalry involved. I know many of us today view that particular song as having a cavalry component attached to it, and that's really in large part due to its use by the Lone Ranger, which of course is where most of us would have probably heard of the song in the first place. So that brings us to the end of the show for today. I apologize for the stops and starts. I've been getting over a small cold. It's been causing things to get into the back of my throat, causing me to cough. It's been kind of throwing my concentration off a little bit, and I do apologize for that. We are getting to the bottom of the hour. I would like to thank you very much for coming in to spend half of your lunchtime with me, or your entire lunchtime with me, as the case may be. You know, I am your crazy Uncle Bonaparte. You are listening to Blind Skeleton 1 online radio. And please do drop me a note when you get the opportunity. Let me know what you like about the show. Let me know what you would like to see about the show. Let me know where you're listening to the show. You know, are you listening on the Blind Skeleton website, on Discord, or are you listening to one of the podcasts of this particular show that are uploaded after the fact? I do try to upload them as unadulterated to the original as possible, so you'll hear all the stops, starts, and coughs as I go through them, you know, as I go through them live. You can reach me at bonaparte@blindskeleton.one, or you can tweet at me at @skeleton_1. You know, I am your blind skeleton. Thank you very much for your time. I do see sneaking in through this side door is our friend, the Story Lady. I'm sure she's got a great story to share with us today, as she always does. Thank you once again. Have a fantastic rest of the day.
Time now for another visit with the Story Lady.
Hello, children. Today we're going to hear the story I call Little Jack Horner. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating his...
Story Lady!
What's wrong, Byron?
That's supposed to be Christmas pie.
Well, I guess they changed it because it wasn't seasonal. Anyway, he's stuck in his...
Story Lady!
Goodness, your ears are certainly red, aren't they?
Story Lady, don't you have another story today?
No. Why?
Well, I mean... Well, I never...
Not ever? Goodness. But to continue, he pulled out a... and said what a...
Give me that microphone.
Well, if you're going to get so mad, forget the whole thing.
Thank you, Story Lady. Be sure you're listening next time, boys and girls, when the Story Lady tells us the warm story of the beautiful princess and her...